Us to be here at Union Church this morning. Valentine's Day. We hadn't mentioned that yet this morning, I don't think. I doubt anyone's forgot about it. John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." It's a great blessing to be at the Lord's house. You know, we're anxious this morning. The Conleys have loved ones traveling back from Florida today. Brother Joe Myers is in Northwest Arkansas. He told me Friday he was going to visit and stay with Brother Jim this weekend, and I'm concerned about him. Ice storm perhaps on the way. But as Brother Ricky said, let us fear. Let us labor. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find help in time of need. I point your attention this morning to the first, let us. I believe, according to Scripture, let us make man in our own image. We are the objects of His affection. And I'm thankful for the love that, when you're in love, you think about it, drifting back across the years. When you love, you think about that person often. Don't leave your mind. How often we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love He has for us? Greater love had no man than this, and He laid down His life for His friends. I want to talk to you a little bit about first things and giving preeminence to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of our affection, worthy of our attention. Sometimes I feel guilty of myself, Brother Ricky, that I don't spend enough time contemplating and meditating and serving Him as we should because for what He's done for us. I talked to, this morning, there are a lot of empty seats here at Union Church. I'm concerned about that, Brother Joe. I long for the day, Brother Danny's prayer this morning. This pandemic has affected every aspect of our life. I long for the day when we're here in number again. There are so many empty seats this morning, but I'm thankful that you're in your seat, and I trust that you will get a blessing by having come this way. This is your reasonable service to come and forsake the things of this life and set your affections upon things above for just a little while. Read with me in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" Look down to verse 6. I get to jump into the middle of verse 6. It says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Are the Son of Man that thou visitest him?" In the book of Ecclesiastes, beginning in chapter 3, Solomon writes these things to us. "For everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven." He said there in Solomon recording Scripture there, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and the time to pluck up that which is planted. At the time, I can remember these this morning, there's a time to kill, there's a time to heal, there's a time to break down, and a time to build up. There's a time to weep, and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn, and a time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get and a time to lose. There's a time to keep and a time to cast away. There's a time to rend and a time to sow. There's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. There's a time of war and a time for peace. You know, it's time, dear friends, that the Lord's people stand up. You know, sometimes we think, you know, I'm only one. What can I do? What can I do? We got to love what Joshua said there, that that's for me in my house. So you have an option. You can serve the God of your fathers on the other side of the flood, or you can serve the one true and living God. And Joshua said there, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to be more faithful to the things of God. This should be our priority, Brother Ricky, in life. This should give the Lord deserves preeminence in all things. You know, there were seven churches of Asia. Seven churches there of Asia. There was Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. You remember the church at Laodicea, what the writer there, John the Revelator, had been on the Isle of Patmos, said about them, that they were lukewarm. They were neither cold nor hot. I tell you what I desire, dear friends. I desire a hot church. A church. This has been a wonderful place in my life, Brother Doug, at Union Church. Brother Joe mentioned this morning some of the ones that are pictured out here on the wall. Oh, they labored for the faith. And I want to continue to do the same thing. We can't control what goes on in the world, dear friends, but we have some say about coming to the house of God and keeping house for Him and laboring, Brother Ricky. He said, "Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I think of Brother Sam Bryan preaching at Mount Gilead Church one time, one summer about that, and I long for those summer meetings again when we come together and it just seems like the Spirit of the Lord just continues to ascend and to gain control of those who are participating in the meeting. But he said, you know, sometimes in the old history of the old Baptist church, there were some churches that had a mindset that in order to come and express yourself and your desire to become a member of the church, they felt like the deacons and those in leadership positions felt like that they ought to know something. They ought to prove to the church that they understand Scripture and so forth. And yes, there ought to be a basis of understanding of Scripture. But, you know, I love what Brother Sam Bryant says about this. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Take your yoke upon yourself first, dear friends, and learn as you go. How do we learn? We learn by studying Scripture. We learn by listening to sermons. We listen to those who have been called to preach the glorious gospel of the one who loved us with an everlasting love, the greatest love story that's ever been written, dear friends, when the Son of God came down from heaven not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He said, "My Father's will is this, all He has given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day." You remember the church over there at Ephesus. If you go read chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, you'll find a lot of wonderful things that they were doing. They were laboring, brother. They had patience and they had faith and they worked diligently to maintain. But what did the statement that the writer expressed there about the church at Ephesus? "I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love." I've left thy first love. Friends, I trust we'll never lose our first love here at Union Church. That we will love the Lord. Why do we love Him? We know why we love Him. Because He first loved us. And He's loved us with an everlasting love. Yes, we do have to work out our own salvation. Brother Ricky mentioned this morning, with fear and trembling. But that's a timely salvation. I'm not worried about my eternal salvation. But I tell you this, I can. You know, sometimes in this life, we get caught up in things of this world. And we'll be like David was on one occasion. Remember when David cried out, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Not thy salvation. He didn't say that. He said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of it." You know, I've heard that acronym in school business. I've been in school business most of my life, and we acronym folks to death. But I love that acronym that I hear about the word joy. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, yourself. You keep it in that order, and you will have a wonderful life on this earth, dear friends. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. But you know, there were some churches over there in Asia, those seven churches. You can read about that. They had strengths. They had weaknesses. I mentioned Laodicea was a lukewarm church. The church over there, Pergamos. Pergamos had some of the some of the same problems that we face in this life. Pergamos, they said, you know, we know where you dwell. We know where your members are. The Lord knows where the members of Union Church are this morning, and we trust that the Lord will bless us in the near future. Yes, I'm thankful for Zoom, and anybody who may be listening in this morning, I'm thankful that you had that opportunity. I understand the bad weather's on the way, but this is a warm place right here this morning, and I thank God for fellowship with the saints of God, and I'm thankful that every one of you are here this morning that are worshiping with us here at Union. We cherish your fellowship and covet your prayers as we sojourn in this life. We do deal with the challenges that we face in this world. But they said there, you know, they even know where Satan's seat is. The Lord said to the church at Pergamos, you mean, wait a minute, does Satan have a seat in this church? You know, pretty much it's a kind of a funny thing about how that comes together. Pretty much everybody sits in the same place this Sunday they did last Sunday. I remember talking about an aunt son's funeral. An aunt son, I don't know exactly why, but she crossed the aisle from her family. She used to sit right there in that second pew, right there by the aisle seat. And she came in one morning, was sitting over there, and I went to hug her, and I said, how are you this morning, aunt son? And she said, well, I guess I'm okay, but here I got my seat. Friends, the Bible says, I said, you want me to ask him to move? She said, No, it'll be all right today. I'll get here earlier next time. But I'm thankful that you're in your seat this morning, dear friends. And I'm thankful for those fond memories of those who have loved this church and have loved the Lord and exhibited that in their life. And I want to emulate them. I want to be more like them. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ and imitate Him and as we read Scripture and study things together, dear friends. But you know, they at Pergamos, they kept talking about repentance. Repentance. You know, it said it talked about hidden manna there, and it talked about a white stone that will be given. I preached it somewhere here. I know at Antioch. I may have mentioned it here one time, but that hidden manna. You know, remember over there in John chapter 4 when the Lord went to the Bible said he must needs go through Samaria. And he went there and sat down at Jacob's well. It was 6 hours. It was noontime. And he sat down at the well and he was weary, the Bible says. Remember our God, our Jesus Christ, the Son of God, friends. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. Don't ask me to explain that to you because I can't this morning. But he was all man and he was all God simultaneously. But we understand this, that he, unlike any other person ever living on the face of the earth, he knew no sin. He knew no sin because he's the one that came out of the grave, dear friends, and right now at the right hand of the Father on high, making intercessions for you and I. But said to repent, and you'll be given hidden manna and a white stone. That hidden manna, dear friends, I think about it in John chapter 4. You know, what had happened there is the disciples had gone into town to get food. And the Lord was left there at the well there at Samaria. And this woman came to the well. And you remember the account. I don't have time to get in all the details of this morning, but it's one of the most beautiful stories in Scripture to me. This woman had been married 5 times. And the man she was with at this time was not her husband. And they began to interact. And he said, the Lord told her, said, give me the drink. Give me the drink. And she said, she was confused about it because she said, you have no dealings. You being a Jew, you have no dealings with my people. Why do you ask me for something to drink? He said, you know, said if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask him for, and he would give you a drink of water that you'd never thirst again. She said, but you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. He said, are you greater than Jacob who gave us this well and drank here himself and his children and his cattle? You know, they begin to discuss. She said, when the Messiah shall come, this Samaritan woman knew something about the Messiah. Because, you know, the Lord, the Bible tells us that the Lord redeemed us with his own precious blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And this Samaritan woman said, when the Messiah shall come, he shall tell us all things. And the Lord told that woman at the well, said, the one that thou speakest of, I am he. She forgot about her water pot. She left it at the well. She went back into town to her people. And she said, come see a man that told me everything I ever done is not this of Christ. His disciples came back and saw the end of that conversation. And they were perplexed that he was interacting in a social manner with this Samaritan woman. And after she walked away, they asked him if he wanted something to eat. And he declined and he said, you know, they wondered if some other man had brought him something to eat. Remember what he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Knowing what's in Scripture and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, seeking his wisdom and his counsel, will give you meat to eat when troubles come in your life. And as Brother Ricky Arco said, if you hadn't suffered, you hadn't lived long enough. It's coming. It's on the way. How are we going to deal with it? Because we have a friend that sticks it closer than a brother. Our first love, I trust. And we love him, as I mentioned this morning, because he first loved us. You know, in Scripture, you know, in several different places in Scripture, I think in maybe Matthew chapter 6, Luke chapter 12, and Luke chapter 16, it gives the same account. It says you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and material things, because you'll love one and hate the other, you'll hate one and love the other. You know, there in Luke chapter 16, when the Lord makes that statement about you can't serve God and mammon, the Pharisees were there, and the Bible says they were a covetous people. And they derided the Lord about that statement, that you can't serve God and mammon. And the Lord told them, said, you are of they who justifieth himself unto men. The Lord knoweth your heart. And some things, and I'm paraphrasing here, I won't go try to read it exactly, but I'm paraphrasing from Luke chapter 16. It says, and some things that the world esteemeth highly is abomination unto God. Friends, it's not a sin to pursue wealth and financial gain. That's not a sin at all to provide for your family and so forth. But dear friends, if it separates you from or removes you from serving the true and living God and removing yourself from your first love, then it is a problem, dear friends. I used to think about when I was a kid, I wanted to be a rich man. I wanted to be a rich man. And then I get older, I realize I am a rich man. not in terms of financial accounts out at the banks in Brookhaven, but just in the fact that I'm, you know, I've told you many times before, if you can find yourself embraced in Romans 8:17, where it talks about you being an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, friends, Brother Danny Wizard said, if that don't stoke your fire, your woods done got wet. I love that saying, dear friends, but we have a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and you know, our days are passing swiftly by. But I do trust the Lord will bless us. I know He will bless us. He blessed us in the past, and He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We need to set our affections upon things above. Brother Ricky mentioned this morning, and I tell you what, the Lord gave an example too. I think it's in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, the Lord had been in the synagogue, and then He went to the house of Simon and Andrew. And James and John were there too. The four fishermen apostles were all there. And we know that Peter was married because the Lord healed his mother-in-law on this occasion. She had a fever, and the Lord healed her of that fever. And the Bible says that eventime, when it began to get dark, so there began the people, it said the whole city gathered at the door. The whole city gathered at the door. And they kept bringing people who were diseased in different ways. And would you do anything differently? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. What do we do? What do we do when one of our loved ones faces a medical battle anyway? I pray. I know you do too. I pray about it. I may not pray as much as I would in the good times, but I tell you this, when adversity comes into my life and one that somebody I love is facing a great hurdle in this life, yeah, I pray then. I pray fervently then, and I trust the Lord will hear those prayers and not look at the times maybe I didn't pray. We're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray in the good times and the bad times. But I love what the Lord did here on this occasion. He set a wonderful example for us. A wonderful example. He healed these people. I don't know how late into the night it went, but even before daylight, it said the Lord arose while it was quite early, while it was yet dark. I forget exactly what it says there. I think it's in Mark chapter 1, about the middle part of the verse 29 to 36, somewhere in there. It talks about the Lord had been up all night healing people and waited well into the night. But when he got up way before dark. And the Bible says he went into a solitary place and prayed unto his Father. Brother Ricky mentioned wanting to speak to Brother Wayne again. Yes, I would too. Just as every one of you on the sound of my voice would love to speak to your Father again, your earthly Father. If you had that opportunity, what a great blessing that would be to your mother, in whatever case it might be. But he got up early. and went into a solitary place and prayed to the Lord. And the Bible says that people followed him again. I want to keep following. I encourage you to keep following him. Brother Ricky mentioned progress this morning, and there was another story told down there. And I hope it's still told down in progress. Sister Ramona, what a great place to grow up. There was a man down there who was mentally challenged. His mother was a librarian, one of my heroes in life, and she knew Scripture so well. She spent a lot of time reading God's Word. As the ice storm came to Progress, which didn't happen very often, but I think we got one coming tomorrow perhaps, and it happened on Sunday morning. Progress Baptist Church was going to try to have service, but it was just a handful able to get there. Just a handful. The pastor lived there, and his family, I think Brother Hodges was there at that time. And this brother I'm talking about, it was mentally challenged, lived down the road about 2 miles, I would think. He rode his bicycle. He couldn't get a driver's license. He rode his bicycle to church on that icy, cold, cold morning because he was the one that rang the church bell at Progress. He said he couldn't start church until I rang the bell. There's a precious sister, brother, in the church, Brother Ricky's affiliated with. This sister's come to church. He's way up in years, in a wheelchair, I think, and can't hear it thunder. Can't hear it thunder. And her daughters are faithful to bring her to church. And they asked her one time, said, Mama, said, why do you keep going to church? You can't hear a thing that goes on. She said, no, but I sure can feel it. Sure can't feel it. If a mentally challenged man will ride a bicycle through icy conditions to get to church to ring the bell, oh, we ought to come to the Lord's house at the appointed time and praise His name for what He's done for us. Greater love hath no man than this, as he laid down his life for his friends. We've been singing this church a long time. Jesus, thou art the sinner's friend. What would you trade for that this morning? That relationship that you have at one day. Praise God, not because of what we've done. I'm not worthy of the least of His mercies. But I know time and time and time again in my life, the Lord has blessed me. He's blessed me abundantly above what I'm deserving of, dear friends. And how do we express our love to Him? By trying to live soberly and righteously in this present world. The Bible says that friendship with this world is enmity against God. We don't need to straddle the fence. There's some in the picture in that lobby out there. There's someone saying my voice this morning. I say all of you. Why are you here this morning? Not because Brother Mickey or Brother Ricky. You didn't know Brother Ricky's going to be here, but not because Brother Mickey's such a good preacher. That's not why you're here. You're here because you love the Lord. The one that is the source of every blessing. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. I want to get into Hezekiah this morning and talk some about him. I've been trying to study about Hezekiah recently, and I encourage you to go study about him. He was go back 10 generations to David. David was his great, say eight greats grandfather. I think that'd be right. He laid down a line in lineage in the tribe of Judah. Hezekiah became king of Judah when he was age 25. He ruled for 29 years. He was 54. Died a young man. But at age 39, he got news that he was going to die. They told him to go set your house in order. He had boils, and I think if you study Bible scholars say that he had probably had bubonic plague. But the Lord, because of his faithfulness, what did he say? I'm going to add to that life 15 years. So from age 39 to age 54, he continued. His father, the Bible says, you read it, he says that Hezekiah followed in the ways of his father David. It was his great, like say eight times grandfather David. His father Ahaz was a wicked king. Go read about it in the scripture. But Hezekiah, You know, I've been, I try not to get into politics. I try to forget about all that right now. I don't do much news watching. And it appalls me, some of the things that have been done in the first days of the new presidential administration. Some executive orders have been issued. I love what Hezekiah did. So when Hezekiah became king, his father had done a lot of evil. And it caused a lot of heartache and suffering in Judah. But what did the Bible say Hezekiah did? In the first year, in the first month of his reign, he restored the churches, the temples, and opened the doors of the church again. I paraphrase that. You can go read it in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. But what a blessing it is. Hezekiah was inspired of God. That first love. May we never leave that first love, but we may seek Him all the days of our life. I will close with this morning. I'm glad I thought about this morning. And oh, goodness. I think Psalm 29, verse 4, maybe. David said this. There is one thing I desire of the Lord. I hope I can quote without going there. And that will I seek after. There's one thing I desire of the Lord, David said, and that will I seek after. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Well, that's David said, that's one thing I desire. And that will I seek after. And be a part of the household of faith. To do all the days of my life, to come into the Lord's temple, to behold His beauty, and to inquire, to learn, to gain instruction in His temple. I trust this morning, if you got anything on what I tried to preach, you give the Lord all praise, honor, and glory for His due Him. We pray that you're safe in the next 24 to 48 hours or whatever may come our way. We trust the Lord will keep you, and I would know He will, in the palm of your hand. And until we meet again, either here in this capacity or at the feet of the Savior in the air. What a day that will be. May the Lord bless you. Is our prayer this morning.